Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I hope you're doing well. I'm Patrick Casey, sitting in for Henrik Palmgren, and you're listening to Red Ice Radio. Our guest for this show is Wild Goose, creator of the Anti-Pit Movement. In recent months, Wild Goose has been raising awareness of the fact that pit bulls are disproportionately responsible for fatal dog bites against both other dogs and humans. This subject is quite controversial among the pit bull community, to say the least. But given the weight of the evidence, it's an issue that cannot be ignored forever. Wild Goose, welcome to Red Ice. How are you doing tonight?
Hey, I'm doing well enough, considering the circumstances. I've been dealing with a bit of a tough crowd this week.
Interesting. Yeah, that's good to hear. We'll get a little more into the nature of this tough crowd that you're dealing with a little later into the show. But why don't we start off by having you tell us a little bit about yourself?
I'm known in some circles as a bit of an agitator. When these mass internet flame wars or shitstorms, if you will, kick off, I've usually found myself front and center in terms of stirring people up. That was the case with Gamergate back in 2014, the alt-right during the 2016 election, and of course what we're looking at now with this anti-pit bull stuff.
Yeah, it really seems like you hit on you've found a very, very good niche for eliciting reactions from people, to say the least.
Yeah, it's a very unlikely niche, not something that I was anticipating for 2018.
Yeah, the response to what you've been doing on Twitter has been fascinating. It's really blown up, and I think, unless I'm mistaken, you deserve most of the credit for starting the, I guess you could call it, the anti-pit bull movement.
Yeah, I mean, in name. Certainly, you know, the whole anti-pit thing. That was something that was originally coined by proponents of pit bulls, you know, people that promoted pit bulls. But I looked back and I'm like, wow, anti-pit has not really been used by somebody who's actually anti-pit bull. So a little over a month ago, I decided, hey, that's kind of the name we're going to go with for this, and we'll see where it goes from there. But yeah, I started throwing flyers up and everything, and it's obviously had a bit of an uptick over the past month. So
yeah, I think that's a bit of an understatement. You're being a little modest there. But let's say that someone isn't familiar with any of this. What are some of the most alarming facts and/or statistics that you could present to them?
Right off the bat, pit bulls. They represent a very small percentage of the dog population in the United States and throughout the world, certainly. But just in the United States, they represent about 5% of the total dog population. And even when you narrow down the breeds to just the American Pit Bull Terrier and the Staffordshire Terrier, they're still responsible for more maimings and fatalities than all other dog breeds combined. And there's quite a lot of dog breeds, you know, several hundred at the very least. According to pediatricians, plastic surgeons, trauma centers, pit bull attacks are consistently the most severe type of dog bite. You have longer hospital visits, more frequent hospital visits, more expensive hospital visits, higher risk of a coma from blood loss, higher risk of death. Pit bulls are responsible for well over 90% of the dog-on-dog maulings and fatalities, as well as with cats and farm animals in general. So the economic impact on agriculture is enormous. I mean, if you're a farmer, you lose cattle or livestock, that's obviously a very big deal.
Right.
And, you know, I brought up these numbers to some people about the farm animals, and they're like, well, hey, do these dogs just, like, go into a chicken coop and kill every single one of them? Yeah, they absolutely do. And we hear about it a lot. But, yeah, tens of thousands of animals are killed by pit bulls every single year. So a lot of people hear about the fatalities alone, and they ignore all the maimings on people. And they ignore the tens of thousands of animals that are killed, the massive amount of property damage. They ignore the overall economic impact, which is enormous. Insurance companies are paying out billions of dollars
for all these dog bite claims, and of course that results in higher premiums for homeowners and, you know, having a pit bull in your neighborhood or allowing them to exist in your neighborhood will often drop the property value. So, those are just some of the things that make, pit bulls, a problematic factor in this country.
Well, you named quite a few things, so it's interesting that appears to be the tip of the iceberg, so to speak. I'm sure there's mm-hmm. much more, but let's back up a bit. I want to ask you how you came to be involved in anti-pit bull activism.
I think this current iteration of anti-pit bull sentiment really hit a crescendo over the past year. A lot of people have noticed the trends, including myself, that with these vicious dog attacks happening on a daily basis, and that's something that's very hard not to notice. Whether you've had a personal experience with a pit bull or not, me personally, I've had many experiences with pit bulls. When I was younger, my dad was in law enforcement. He brought a dog home from the pound. And it was it just completely demolished our house. It destroyed the furniture, tore through a door. I mean, through the door. It ate through the door. I mean, he would go away because he would work really mm-hmm. long shifts. And like, you know, there was just it was a completely unmanageable dog. So, a lot of that has to do with the fact that it's just not a family dog. It's a fighting dog. There was also a documentary last year. I want to say it was by a Canadian station. It was called Pit Bulls Unleashed. Should Pit Bulls Be Banned? I think that was the full title. But that documentary in particular revealed a lot of problems to me that I didn't even know existed. And that includes this very elusive patchwork of lobbyist organizations that promote pit bulls as a family pet. And it's my belief that these organizations protect dog fighters. And I think that promoting the pit bull as a family pet allows dog fighters to better subdue themselves among communities, and it's very hard to identify them as non-family dogs. Now, I've gone through a lot of Facebook groups, you know, when I was researching a lot of this, and, you know, I've seen entire groups with people sharing stories about their pets being killed by pit bulls on a daily basis. I'm sure you've seen recently that lady with her cat getting killed in her living room. She was in a wheelchair, so she was just staring helplessly and screaming hysterically while this monster was just tearing into her cat. Really horrific stuff, but that's several times daily that this is happening. And a lot of it isn't documented. So, yeah, I've seen a lot of really, really graphic photos that, you know, I wouldn't even link to on a place like Twitter or Facebook, something like a horror movie. But yeah, that's part of what got me into it.
Very, very horrific. I've seen a number of videos and images from these types of attacks, and they are quite hard to watch. One in particular that has kind of stuck out to me was this older woman was doing, what is it, the ice bucket challenge. It was the thing that people were doing back in, mm-hmm. I want to say 2015, sometime in the last few years.
Yeah.
And for whatever, you know, there are kids playing in the yard, toddlers, and someone pours water over her head, and she's freaking out, you know, because it's so cold, as everyone else who did the challenge did. And there's a pit bull. The pit bull jumps up and latches onto her face, and she falls down, and the camera falls, and people are screaming. And at the end of the video, it shows a picture of her, you know, I think a few days later, and her face is grotesquely swollen. And these, right, it's not just pit bulls breaking into someone else's house and attacking their children or their animals. It's pit bulls snapping on their owners. Pit bulls, you know, you hear these people say that their dog was the nicest dog ever up until it snapped. And it doesn't matter if you're the owner or you're a guest. It seems like
something primal is kind of switched on within them, and they just attack the closest thing in sight.
Yeah, and I think a lot of that has to do with their genetic kill drive. You know, proponents of the breed like to say, well, it's the owner, not the breed. Look, they're half right. I don't completely disagree with that, but they're making it seem as if, you know, the two things are mutually exclusive. And when researching a lot of these fatal attacks, you know, I've noticed the vast majority of them are by family pets, so to speak. You know, they were adopted to be family animals. You know, these people aren't bringing pit bulls home from these adoption centers and training them to be dog fighters, you know, with their kids in the home. I mean, not even dog fighters are doing that. And when you hear about these fatalities, it's very rare, very, very rarely, you know, somebody training it
right
to be bad or aggressive or whatever. So, yeah, that's very troubling. And I do think that proponents of the breed go out of their way to deny genetics being a factor. But, of course, you know, if you were to train a pit bull to be aggressive or violent towards people, it's obviously its genetic qualities will be more refined and it could be a more efficient killer. But yeah, the unpredictability definitely stems from genetic factors.
Yeah, definitely. I think like humans, the result of, you know, many complex behaviors is a combination of environmental and genetic factors, and to deny one or the other, you know, without sufficient evidence seems a bit foolish. But do you have anything to tell us about the history of the breed itself? Have they been bred to be fighters for many, you know, many decades or centuries, or is this a newer phenomenon?
Before I go into the actual history of the breed, I think it's important that I dispel a very deadly myth. And this is something that nearly every pit mommy you see on Twitter or Facebook will bring up. They'll tell you that the pit bull was bred to be a nanny dog, and that people bred them specifically to babysit the kids of rich people, which is absolutely absurd. And there's no primary sources or accounts of this ever having been true. They'll often use sketchy picture, like black and white photos with like a kid riding a pit bull or whatever. And, you know, there's no evidence of it at all. So, you know, I want to dispel that myth right off the bat, because I honestly think that gets a lot of children killed, because that leads owners to be irresponsible in letting their kids be alone with these dangerous animals. But anyways, moving on to the actual history of the pit bull. Prior to the 19th century, it's a little bit shady. They weren't actually registered as dog breeds until, I'd say, like the early 20th century. But obviously the breed has existed well before then. Some would say that they would go as far back to the time of the Romans as war dogs. They certainly have roots with bloodhounds, back during the, you know, slavery era. They would need to catch runaway slaves and prisoners of war, and a lot of times these bloodhounds would go out and hunt them down. And when I say bloodhound, I'm not talking about the actual breed of bloodhound. If you look at the actual pictures of these bloodhounds from that era, they are oddly similar to the modern pit bull. So I definitely think they have roots in that. But the pit bull that we see today is a crossbreed between the American Bulldog and other bulldog breeds that were originally used for bull baiting and bear baiting. They would latch on to these bulls and you know, tear them down by the neck, which is still something that goes on in a lot of
third world countries. They basically crossbred that with the terrier. And so, like, the gameness and tenacity of the dog is just off the chain. It is the most efficient fighting dog in the world. You know, any dog fighter, if you were to randomly select them, they're going to go with the pit bull 9 times out of 10. I think there's probably some overseas that people use, but, yeah, the pit bull is the go-to dog fighting dog. So, make no mistake, you can put a tutu on the dogs, you right. can put little floral crowns on their heads, but that doesn't change the fact that these are dogs that were specifically bred for a purpose that is banned in all 50 states. It's outlawed in all 50 states. It's a felony, dog fighting. So I don't think these animals have a purpose in modern society at all.
Yeah, I definitely think there's a mounting case for some kind of prohibition on the ownership of these animals. But I want to talk to you about what you think the right solution for this issue would be. But I want to go back to something that you said earlier. So one of the most common responses, or rather excuses, provided by pit bull owners for, you know, the violence exhibited by this breed of dog is that it's just bad owners, right? It's nothing biological. We already talked about that a bit, but one thing that I've noticed mm-hmm. and I've found very interesting is that the same people who are saying this, these pit bull owners, are the same ones who are sending you death threats, the same ones who are, you know, telling you or anyone retweeting this stuff that they're going to kill you, right? So if it is just the owners, these people aren't making, I don't think it really helps their case.
No. And there's actually been studies on dog owners. So, you know, even if like 100% of these people on Twitter and Facebook were, you know, just internet trolls or whatever, it wouldn't really take away from the fact that there is a problem with pit bull owners, and it's well documented. There's been peer-reviewed studies on the behavior of pit bull owners. In fact, I got one right here that talks about a lot of the excuses that they use routinely. It's called Managing the Stigma of Outlaw Breeds, mm-hmm. a case study of pit bull owners. Now there's another study that goes into the criminality of pit bull owners. Apparently, pit bull owners tend to be felon, like violent criminals. But this one goes into the actual psychological manipulation tactics they use. And, I'll read a bit of the abstract for you. I won't read the whole thing, but this just goes into some of the tactics they use. It says, ethnographic interviews were conducted with 28 pit bull owners to explore the sociological experience of having a dog with a negative image. Results indicate that the vast majority of respondents felt that these dogs were stigmatized because of their breed. Respondents made this conclusion because friends, family, and strangers were apprehensive in the presence of their dogs, and because they made accusations about the breed's viciousness and lack of predictability. So, I mean, these people are, like, alienating their families and friends because of their dog breed preference. But I'll continue on. In the face of this stigma, respondents resorted to using a variety of interactional strategies to lessen the impact of this perception or prevent it from occurring. These strategies included passing their dogs as breeds other than pit bulls, denying that their behavior is biologically determined, debunking adverse media coverage, using humor, emphasizing counter-stereotypical behavior, avoiding stereotypical equipment or accessories, taking preventative measures, or becoming breed ambassadors. Now, not all of those things are bad in and of themselves, but you don't see this with any other type of dog breed.
It's very peculiar, honestly.
Yeah, I definitely think it's exclusive to pit bull type dogs.
It'd be interesting to do more research on the mentality of the kind of person not only who wants to get a pit bull to begin with, but also that goes to these absurd lengths to justify their ownership of this particularly violent breed of dog. And it seems like these people are largely unable to cope with the reality that, you know, pit bulls are far more violent than other dog breeds.
Yeah, certainly. And I've actually had people get offended because I would avoid them when they were walking their pit bull past me. But, you know, I would do that with any dangerous dog. But especially when it's being handled by a 90-pound woman and she's walking, right, you know, two 70-pound pit bulls. I'm sorry, but, you know, a 90-pound woman, it cannot handle that dog. If it wanted to turn into me, it would.
Yeah, I think even, like, well-built, muscular guys have issues containing these dogs.
Absolutely.
When you see these videos of pit bulls completely losing it and attacking someone or an animal, you generally see their owners, I mean, they just resort to, you know, they try to grab them, that doesn't work, the pit bull's dragging them around, and then see the owners just, like, taking their shoes off and hitting the pit bull and kicking the pit bull, and it's totally ineffective. Pit bulls are totally unfazed by this kind of stuff.
Yeah, and while there's definitely a huge percentage of these fatal attacks that are on the elderly and small children, what's really alarming about these dogs is that they're, like you said, they're taking down physically fit, full-grown adult males. Like, even a bodybuilder would have a hard time dealing with a pit bull if they were to attack them or something, or somebody, like a family pet or whatever. They would have a hard time getting that pit bull to let go. So it's definitely a force to be reckoned with. There's been many cases where I think a pit bull got shot like 26 times with a BB gun and still didn't let go. There was one that got shot in the face twice with a shotgun and still didn't let go. You know, it's unreal, man.
Yeah.
It's unreal. Like, I would honestly, I would feel safer around one of those dogs from Resident Evil than a pit bull, you know?
Yeah, I'm not sure there's much of a difference, honestly, but yeah, one video that I saw recently really, you know, exemplifies what you're talking about. This, I don't know, maybe 130-pound woman, probably in her 50s, was walking through the suburbs with her two pit bulls, and the pit bulls see, you know, a family cat just lounging out on the driveway of this house that they're walking by, and the two pit bulls totally break off their leashes, and they go up to the cat, and you can tell the cat's really domesticated. The cat, like, is just standing there as the pit bulls are sniffing them very briefly, because the sniffing turns mm-hmm. into biting, and
right.
I'm pretty sure they just, like, totally kills the cat. You know, it was CCTV footage, and then there wasn't a news story, so it's kind of hard to tell, but the woman was trying to hold, one of the pit bulls broke off and immediately made it to the cat. The other one was trying to, but the woman was holding on with both of her hands to the leash, and she ended up holding on so long that she fell and she face planted onto the ground. And so she gets up and she's
right.
trying to fight these dogs off. And I think she probably got a concussion or something. And yeah, pit bull owners don't seem, in general, not all pit bull owners, but they don't seem like they're, it just really seems negligent for them to be in denial about how violent their dogs are and about how unprepared they are for the possibility of their pit bulls just flying off the handle.
Right, and you bring up a good point there about pit bull owners being ignorant and negligent about their own dog breed, and I think that denial in particular is really deadly because, you know, if you own like a German Shepherd or some Mollisard type breed dog, and you're going to deny that this dog is absolutely dangerous if it were to attack somebody, you know, you're setting yourself up. You're setting yourself up for failure. You're setting the dog up for failure. And trying to pass this dog off as like some kind of babysitter dog, absolutely dangerous, absolutely irresponsible. And I would say that it's like, it's the majority of owners that are doing this. And one interesting little factoid for you is, okay, like most dog breeds
are sterilized at like about a 70% rate.
Mm-hmm.
Pit bull dogs are sterilized like around 20% of the time, if that.
Right.
If that. So yeah, that, and it's really sad because a lot of owners talk about how stigmatized the breed is and how they're, you know, overflowing shelters and stuff, and they can't seem to put two and two together. Like, okay, well, if you were to have mandatory sterilization for these dogs, they wouldn't be flooding the shelters, and we wouldn't have to be euthanizing them, you know, a million a year. So, like, regardless of whether or not, like, we ban these dogs or whatever, you know, I do think there needs to be mandatory sterilization because, obviously, what we have in place right now just ain't working, you know, because pit bull owners are not responsible enough on their own to go out and pay for a very simple recommended procedure. And in many cases, a lot of places will do the sterilization for free. You know, there's a lot of places that will pay for it with government grants.
Yeah, in light of that, there's really no good excuse to not have your pit bull or I guess your dog in general sterilized. But again, going back to the kind of the mentality of these pit bull owners, I think it might even just be intentional. It might even be just part of the delusion, right? They might feel that if they're sterilizing their pit bull, they're somehow acknowledging the fact that their pit bulls are different than other dogs. And yeah, I mean, it just seems like a big, like, act of rebellion against, against society, in a way.
Yeah, they don't want to acknowledge that their dog is different in any way. And that's why, you know, I have a hard time finding any sort of common ground with these people. You know, even when I do, like, offer up some kind of concession, I'm like, okay, well, what if we just do sterilization? What if we just muzzle them all? What if we just do this? You know, what if we make them wear a funny hat that lets us know that they're a pit bull and they're dangerous?
Yeah, I see, like, a lot of that on Twitter.
Yeah, they just don't they don't respond to any of that. That's why I'm a lot more hardline in proposing a ban. But make no mistake, like, I'm not negotiating with these people. There's no argument with them. The argument is done. You know, it's settled science that these dogs are obviously disproportionately more dangerous than any other dog breed. So, the real argument to be made is in front of lawmakers. So, and any time this sort of thing is put up for a public vote, the pro BSL, the breed specific legislation people like myself win every single time. Most people have enough common sense to know instinctively that these are dangerous dogs, you know, whether or not they look at the trends or whatever, they just, you know, when you see a pit bull, you know that that's obviously, yeah, there's something different about that dog, that, you know, a Yorkshire Terrier, a Golden Retriever, you know, they don't possess those qualities. So, and that brings me to another point. For some reason, these people like to, they've all been attacked by Golden Retrievers. That just seems like a weird coincidence to me. Yeah, they've all been mauled by Golden Retrievers, and they have a very hard time spelling the word Chihuahua. So,
They seem to argue that Chihuahuas are a greater public threat than pit bulls. I'll confess that I haven't looked at the data on, you know, Chihuahua mm-hmm. fatal bites. But given that pit bulls are, I mean, it's what, 70 to 80% of dog bite fatalities are done by pit bulls. You know, if that's, I could be wrong on the numbers there, but if that's even close to the case, then there's no way that Chihuahuas are.
No.
They're such a small dog.
Yeah, there's no. I've looked up and down for any record of a Chihuahua having killed anybody. Have Chihuahuas bitten people? Have they mauled like small?
Yeah, that might be something that's never happened.
Yeah, I mean, like, there might be like a freak thing here or there, but like, it's not recorded anywhere that I found. And I've looked long and hard to try to find that, and I can't. Like, there was the only thing that I found in all of my searches was like a joke forum post about a Chihuahua killing. It was like Chihuahua Mall's family of five or something like that. It was just something goofy, like an onion post.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't put it past these people to, you know, perhaps they're all actually citing that forum post that was apparently satire as actual evidence. But one thing I wanted to say before we wrap up and take a break here is that that mentality that you described when you said that you're not trying to argue with these people, I feel like that's kind of where we are with the dissident right overall, with a large segment of the population. Mm-hmm. You get to the point where you're talking with people and you're providing them with legitimate data, statistics, you know, other facts and so forth, and you can't argue with someone, you can't have a discussion if they totally refuse to accept it, if they just pretend that, you know, data from these government bureaus and nonprofits, you know, from reputable sources is illegitimate because it doesn't fit into their worldview. But I think that at large in society, you know, Pitbull owners, there's no way they constitute a large demographic in society. They might be very vocal when you talk about these things, and we'll get more into some of the, you know, death threats that you've received since you embarked on this journey. But I think that there's, you said you want to convince the lawmakers. That's definitely important. I think just the public at large definitely, I think, would be receptive to this. Because, again, most people don't own pit bulls. Most people don't feel too much of a connection to the pit bull cause. And most people do have, you know, small pets, children, elderly adults that they would, you know, they would feel far safer having their loved ones not have to worry about, you know, getting mauled by a pit bull.
Yeah.
I mean, one example I saw recently was, it was just the title of an article that I saw briefly on Twitter, but it was like, pit bull, like, terrorizes daycare or something, right? I think most of us can agree that a society in which pit bulls don't terrorize daycares is better than one that in which pit bulls do terrorize.
Yeah, I mean, there was actually a case like something like a month ago where a pit bull actually broke into an elementary school and mauled seven children. You know, it sounds absurd, like it's like an Onion headline or something, but this is stuff that actually happens. Pit bulls actually break into people's homes and attack people, which is, you're not going to hear about any other kind of dog, ever.
Yeah, definitely. Well, Wild Goose, we should go ahead and wrap up for our break here, but before we do, why don't you tell the audience where they can find you on the internet?
Right now, I'm on twitter.com as WildGoose999. That's WildGoose999. You can find all the latest pit bull rage on my timeline. You'll see a lot of heat there. So,
and you're also running a billboard campaign, correct?
Yeah, it's like it's a media blitz in general.
What's the website they can go to if they want to support this?
People can find that at antipit.org. Which redirects to a GoFundMe page to raise funds for various elements of the Media Blitz campaign. So if people want to contribute, they can go visit there.
Awesome. Well, we're going to go ahead and take a break, but we will be right back.